Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you speak together with me the sermon title for this morning? We know the secret. Based on Mark chapter 1, particularly this verse. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan River. I invite you to open up your worship folder this morning and find there the sermon outline. Follow along with the sermon outline as we consider our theme, We Know the Secret. Whenever a good storyteller tells a story, he or she has a challenge, has a dilemma. When to tell the secret. Some tell the secret at the beginning of the story, and we know the secret before the characters in the story ever do. Oh, Grandma, what big teeth you have. And we know, even before Little Red Riding Hood, that ain't no granny. That's the big bad wolf. And some storytellers wait until the very end of the story to reveal the secret. Who pushed Colonel Mustard down the back door steps? And will Marletta, his young widow, find true happiness with Roscoe the chauffeur? Turn in to next week for the final episode of the glorious soap opera, As the Stomach Turns. Well, in the gospel account that bears his name, St. Mark has a wonderful secret to share. The secret is of the true identity of Jesus. Now, Mark tells us this secret right away. In the first verse of his gospel, he says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And lest we miss it, he tells us again in verse 11 of chapter 1, a voice came from the heaven and said, you are my beloved son, with you I am well pleased. But like any good story, some know the secret and some don't know it. The Heavenly Father knows. Jesus knows. With St. Mark's help, we should know Jesus is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Yet as the story unfolds in Mark's gospel, we discover that many can't figure out the secret. The Jewish religious authorities only see Jesus as a troublemaker they have to deal with. The crowds continually confuse Jesus with the Old Testament prophet Elijah and others. The disciples who've been with Jesus for 3 years, never seem to get it. And they ran for their very lives when Jesus was heading to the cross. Ironically, now catch this one. Ironically, in the Gospel of Mark, it is the demons who always recognize who Jesus was. In Mark 1:24, we read, a demon crying out, I know who you are, Jesus, the Holy Son of God. Now, many would not, or many could not, recognize the secret. You see, Jesus simply didn't look like what they expected of a mighty Son of God and a Messiah. Jesus was humble. Jesus was serving. Jesus was suffering. And this Jesus, this sinless Savior, did you catch it? This sinless Son of God submitted himself to a baptism by the hand of John for the forgiveness of sins. Why? He had no sin. Why? Because he loves us so. Why? Because as he did this, he identified himself fully with sinners he came to save. And fully identifying himself with our sin, he took upon himself our sin. And because he did that, he later submitted himself to ridicule, to rejection, and to crucifixion to pay for that sin that he took upon himself even at the baptism. Now once, just once, St. Peter came this close to the secret. But we learned that Peter, like so many, just did not want to know the secret that Jesus was a suffering Messiah. In Mark 8, Peter declares these words, "Jesus, you are the Christ." And right after Peter said this, Jesus told Peter that he had to go to the cross. Then Peter rebuked Jesus and said, "Jesus, no, this is not what I want to happen." And in turn, Jesus rebuked Peter and listened to these words, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but on man's." Peter did not want to know the secret of who Jesus was because all hell was about to break loose on that cross of Calvary. Yet St. Mark in his gospel account wants us to remember that Jesus is the Son of God, the victorious Savior, especially when all hell does break loose in Jesus' life. And it seems like he is anything but victorious. As the Roman soldiers hold Jesus down to nail his hands with those nails, St. Mark says, remember the secret. When Jesus dies in your place on Calvary's cross, Jesus says, God says to us, remember the secret. When Jesus is ridiculed by the crowds, if you're really the Son of God, come down from that cross, and he doesn't because he's paying for their sins. All appearances to the contrary, Mark whispers to us, remember the secret. And when Jesus finally bows his head in death, forsaken by his closest friends, and it's only a Roman centurion guard on duty who says, surely this is the Son of God. Through his mouth, St. Mark reminds you of the secret you knew from the beginning of the gospel. He is the Son of God, regardless of how appearances seem to the contrary. Now, my friends, here's where this sermon touches your lives today. Dear friends, we are to remember the secret of who Jesus really is when all hell breaks loose in our lives. Let me give you a little challenge. I hope you're willing to take it on. How about we try something new in this new year of 2015? How about we stop playing religious games with God, with ourselves, and with one another? Sometimes it does feel like hell is breaking loose in our lives, doesn't it? What is it for you? What is it for your loved ones these days? Now I know, boy do I know, for many here today, this past week has been pretty rough. Let's not pretend anymore, shall we, that life is always great, that life is always sweet. that we never have fears or doubts or anger. We are human. We are sinners. We live in a sinful world. Things just aren't always the way they should be. And this is one reason St. Mark in his gospel, and today in this sermon, you're being brought this one central truth. When things get rough for you, remember the secret. Mark tells us again and again in his gospel the secret. That Jesus Christ is the victorious Son of God, and that this Jesus Christ loves you. I'm talking about you, Herb. That this Jesus Christ who died and rose loves you, Gail. That this Jesus Christ who gave his life loves you, Tong, and nothing will change his love for you. Now, appearances can be deceiving. It was true for Jesus. He who appeared to be powerless on the cross is the same one who rose with all power and authority and wisdom and strength, victorious over sin, victorious over death, victorious over the devil, and all that he did for you and for me. Our Lord Jesus Christ is no stranger to letdowns and heartaches and suffering. Look at that cross. Because he knows what it's like, he will never flee from you in your time of sorrow or pain. Now, I recall a corny joke. A corny joke that it's a reminder to me, of Jesus' strong presence when I need him most. It's only corny because it's based on a passage in the old King James Version of the Bible we don't hear much anymore. In Matthew 28, verse 20, people have claimed, here is Jesus' promise to short people. In Matthew 28, 20, Jesus says, "Lo, I am with you always, to the very ends of the earth." Now, this morning in Bible class, the new translations translate this, "Surely I am with you always to the end of the earth." Surely. That God is with you always to the ends of the earth. But here's a promise for all of us. Always. 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 I better quit ad-libbing and get back to the script. I know for some of you, I'm on the clock, so. Jesus says, "Lo, or surely, I am with you always." Always. This is a wonderful reminder to us all to remember when things are tough in our life and appearances seem to the contrary. Appearances can be deceiving, but it is true. In Jesus Christ, we have many blessings. And now I would turn your eyes to the bulletin, to the sermon outline. This morning, we're going to talk about just three of the countless blessings God has for you, even when things in your life seem to the contrary. By your baptism into Christ Jesus, number one, you have a sure identity. Galatians chapter 3 says this, "For you are all sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." By the way, it's not in the script and it's dangerous when I ad lib. You know one of the reasons a pastor wears these white robes? To remind us. You are baptized into Christ. You have clothed yourselves with Christ's righteousness. I'm a walking object lesson. Yes, we have sin in our lives. But God has clothed us with the righteousness of Christ. By baptism, we have a sure identity. God's forgiven and beloved children. In His own baptism, Jesus, the secret of Jesus' identity is revealed. And nothing that happens afterward to Jesus can ever change it. Not the spitting, not the nails, not the grave. In his baptism, he is declared the Son of God, and in his baptism. And here's the answer to the secret. Why was Jesus baptized? In his baptism, Jesus began the process of bearing the sins of the world that he would later take to the cross. And we know that because when his cousin John the Baptizer saw Jesus coming for baptism, in John 1:29, John gives him a title, the first public title Jesus is given, and it tells the reason he has come and come to the waters of baptism, when John says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." My friends, by your baptism, the secret is out. The secret of your identity is revealed. You are a child of God. You are his precious daughter. You are his precious son. The same thing the voice from heaven said to Jesus in the Jordan River, he says to you today, "You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. With you, I am well pleased." You are a baptized child of God. Nothing can change your sure identity. And if there is anyone here this morning who is not yet baptized, please speak to me. We can take care of that with great joy. Look at the outline again. By your baptism to Christ Jesus, number two, the secret is out. You also have not just a sure identity, but you have an eternal destiny. Listen to Romans 8. "In all things we more than conquer through him who loved us. For neither death nor life, nor things present or things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord." My friends, your destiny is sure, and your destiny is eternal. Never separated from God, but always with him now, and in heaven forevermore. He will take care of you. Nothing this world throws in your way can ever change that. Nothing. And thirdly, by your baptism into Christ, what did your outline say? The secret is out. You are of immeasurable worth. What the Heavenly Father said to Jesus at his baptism, the Heavenly Father says to you, "You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. With you, I am well pleased." Yes, Almighty God delights, absolutely delights in that person you see in the mirror every morning. Almighty God delights in you. Now we end today's sermon with a couple of more secrets that I just can't wait to tell you. My wife knows I can't keep a secret. I encourage you to remember these secrets about baptism and use them whenever you need them. Secret number one, Martin Luther said that we can use our baptism as an offensive weapon against the lies and the temptations of the devil when he comes to us speaking such things. Luther said, when the devil knocks at the door of your heart and comes to hurt us with his lies and his fears and doubts and temptations, here's what we can do, Luther says. Open that door. stare him right in the eye and say, "Go to hell, devil. I am a baptized child of God. You shall have no power over me." Now, woe be it to me to teach naughty words in church. But I want you to repeat those phrases with me, one after the other. Say after me, "Go to hell, devil. I am a baptized child of God. You shall have no power over me." And how about saying it like you mean it? "Go to hell, devil. I am a baptized child of God. You shall have no power over me." And here's secret number two. Now, because we have a carpet in front of the baptismal font, if we're going to do this, we have to turn our head in another direction, or Ian will have my neck for messing up the church. In the ancient Orthodox Church, a beautiful custom, when a husband and a wife brought their baby for baptism, the priest would invite them in joining him on spitting on the floor of the church building. Any guesses why? They were spitting in the face of the devil. And in effect, telling the devil when their child was baptized, "Go to hell, devil. This child of ours is a precious baptized child of God, and you shall have no power over her." Now, if you ever feel like spitting in the devil's face, go for it. Just watch where you spit and don't hit somebody else, Al, okay? Today, we have considered the baptism of Jesus and our own baptisms. We have been reminded of a secret that no one or nothing can ever take from us. A secret that also we can gladly share with others. And here it is again. Jesus Christ is the victorious Son of God, our Savior. We are His forever. And nothing that life throws in our way, nothing can ever change it. In the name of Jesus, amen.